Right, let me begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message. Father, as we gather here, we gather really to be in your presence. It's not about one particular aspect of this service. It's really all of it. And even then, it's not just the service. It's how we live our lives and what we do, even as we walk outside those doors. So, Father, I ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to reveal to us the truths that we need to have here today. As I said, there's no coincidence or anything. There's no luck. There's things that God has ordained for us to be here and to be able to hear certain things. And so, Father, I ask that your word ring true, that your word develop that foundation within us, that we're stronger because of your word, because we have your support, and we know that you delight in us delighting in you. So we just appreciate all of that, Lord, and just pray for your Spirit to guide everything that's said here. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're still continuing on our series on the Word of God, and this one here, the Word of God, does what? It guides, yeah. And really, guess what, folks? You, me, need guidance. Yeah, over and over and over again. So we're going to be looking at this guidance in terms of the importance of God's Word and how God's Word guides. So to begin with, let's go on to our first verse. And I like this verse here. You probably have heard this before. It comes from Psalm 119. And it's verse 105. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, I always think about this here because this is before the days of LED headlights on your cars. You know what I'm talking about when you're driving down the road and there's a car coming towards you and you can't see anything because they're on low beam and yet it's like in your face. These pickup trucks that are going around, it's definitely, they've got a problem. All right? And so it's real important to think about where this passage kind of comes from. It comes from people that are be traveling at night and all they have literally is like a candle. And you guys should do this for an experiment. Right? Go outside, shut off that outdoor light that you have on your house, shut off everything else. Go out into if you're living in the village, go out into the woods, right? And light a candle and find your way home. The candle really doesn't light very much light, right? It doesn't light up a big area. However, your eyes begin to adjust to that. And as your eyes adjust to the light, then you're able to see, you know, reflections of things. You're starting to be more aware of the things that are around you because you have to be. You know, I think of, you know, Bev here, who's...
I don't need a candle. God.
No, that's right. She's lost her sight, right?
God guides me back to where I got to go.
There you go. Yeah. It's because she doesn't have her sight. Her other senses, right, her hearing has to pick up. And her remembering of where things are, where they were placed, needs to be picked up and stuff. And it's so she has to really... rely on those other aspects that we tend to keep kind of somewhat quiet because, well, we can always go back to Google things, you know, and we don't have to worry about learning anything because, you know, AI is just going to do it for us now, which is really sad. But at any rate, the idea is if you think about this, your word is a lamp to my feet so that we don't stumble, we don't hurt, and we don't make those mistakes that can, you know, take a long time in which to heal. Loretta talks about sometimes like broken families and the hurt that can happen within a family. Right? That takes a long time to heal. But if we can prevent that from happening by having, you know, a light as a guide, and it talks about that so that we don't stumble along a path, but then it also speaks about there's a light for the actual path. So if I'm walking down through here, the path is somewhat lit up. But I still need a light to keep my feet from stumbling on the path. Because it goes back to, like I've said before, just because you're a Christian does not mean that you're not going to experience problems in life. And you need to see that coming so that you can be prepared for it and to be able to do the things that you need to do to get over that stumbling block, that root, that pit, or something else that's there. God is that light. God is the only light you need. Because if you start looking for other lights, you're going to find that you're going to have problems. In fact, you're in an area where it's darkness, because Jesus speaks about that in our next verse here. The Pharisees were a little offended by some of the things he was saying. And the disciples came over and said, you know, the Pharisees, they're not liking what you're saying. And they're kind of like put out. You know what Jesus says to his disciples about that? Sweet, loving Jesus, who just wants everybody to be, you know, do group hugs and stuff like that. No, this is what he kind of says is in here. In Matthew 15:14, he says, leave them. Why would you want to leave the leaders of the Israelite nation? The leaders of the temple, those that do the sacrifices, those that teach the law. Jesus says, leave them. And he says this, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit. Jesus isn't sweet. I mean, he can be sweet. But what he is truthful. There are leaders that are out there, maybe you're unaware of this, that really could care less about you. All they do is care about themselves, right? And it's like feeding off of the flock. We talked about that before. And then there are leaders that, you know, the shepherds, if you want to call it that, that care for the sheep, that lead them to still waters, that puts them in new pastures, that protects them during the day and at night. And that they lead those sheep to where they need to go. Right? And they put oil on their head. And his whole purpose of putting that oil on the head of the sheep is to keep the bugs and stuff from getting in and around their eyes and causing disease in their nostrils and stuff like that. There's a whole story of that anointing of that, you know, putting oil on one's head in the realm of sheep. But in this case here, we have to be careful who we follow. Now, the weird thing is, if you start looking at society in general, you're going to find that there's a lot more followers than there are leaders. There are some followers that want to be leaders. And then there are true God-sent leaders. You need to find them. And you'll know who they are based upon their spirit. If it's just about feeling good, then you really need to stay away from them. But if it's about finding the truth and finding God's righteousness, then maybe that's a leader that you want to be shepherd under, because leaders can get the flock to stray in some really weird tangents. Now it sounds like, well, leaders are supposed to be good people. Well, they should be. I get that. But you know, God has given you a discerning heart as well. And you need to be careful what you listen to, who you spend time with, because those individuals that are living in darkness or blind will want to take you with them. And sometimes they'll make you even a worse sinner than what they are, because then it makes them look better. Well, I'm not like that person. And if I'm not like that person, well then, I'm going to heaven. No. Sin is sin and everything. But look at the end result of the blind people leading the blind. They fall into a pit. Now, how much light is there in a pit? Not much. They probably don't even know they're in a pit. Probably don't even know how to get out. They probably don't even care about how they get out. Because their focus isn't anything more than just whatever it is that they're doing at the time. God gives you a light for your feet. And He gives you a light for your path. So that you can not stay put, but you can move. And where are you moving to? Where should you be moving to?
Closer to God.
Closer to God. Right? And in that path, you're going to run into people. You're going to run into situations. And how are you going to handle that? Are you going to take those people that you run into and lead them on the path that God's leading you? Or do you push them off the path? Say, make way for me. Yeah, that's right. Little sticky things, you know. Keep going through it. You got all these people kind of gathering around you. But the idea is that you've got to have that light for the lamp that comes from God. Because Jesus says this one very thing. And He kind of puts it kind of narrow. And we don't really like this in today's society because it's very definitive. And you know the scripture verse. You've seen it before. But in John 14, 6 through 7, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that doesn't really fit our world of diversification. Well, that's okay for you. And you have found another way over here, and you found another way over here. This doesn't really fit in our society. Because Scripture says there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you cannot accept that, yeah, if you can't accept that, then what you're going to do is you're going to accept something from a blind guide. Because something will master you, as we all are mastered by something. But are you going to allow God to master you, or are you going to allow something else to master you? Because in this way, there's, you know, God says, and it's kind of nice, I am the way that's lit, the way that you have been given a light to be able to see where you're going. Right? And I'm the truth. And that's basically what Jesus is saying, is that He speaks the truth all the time. Sometimes it's hard to hear, especially when it goes against what we want. But that's what it means to be subordinate to God. I very, very rarely hear the word subordinate. What I hear when I'm in school is insubordinate. That child, I wrote them up. Because they're insubordinate. You know what insubordinate means?
Not a rule.
There you go. They want to do things their way. But when you're subordinate, that means that you do follow the ways that God wants you to be. You're obedient to Him. You've surrendered your will to God. Just as simple as that. And there's nothing wrong with being subordinate to God. In fact, it's a blessing. Because He is your guide that we have here. And it's, if we want that relationship with God, Jesus gives us a clear package right here. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want life, then you need to go through Jesus Christ to get that life. And it's, like I said, today's society doesn't like that because it restricts my options. Well, I want to take Delta instead of, you know, a TWA. That kind of dates me, doesn't it? TWA. What is it now? United and all these other ones that are out there. I want to take my own flight. Well, I want to drive this time instead of fly. I want to take a train. I want to take a boat now. I want to choose my path to get where I want to go. You know, the funny thing is, God will say, go. You have that option. But Jesus says that I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. So, yeah, Doran.
My brother-in-law was taught that Allah and Jesus are the same God, and he had to believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's a blind lead, leading a blind person, and they're both going to fall into that pit with that belief. Yeah, that there's one God, we just call him different names, you know, but there's, you know, everybody worships the same God, just different ways and stuff like that. I always question, why do we send missionary people to the Muslims then? I don't know, that makes no sense. You know, why do we need to do that if we're all the same God? Well, they're not the same God. Right, and it's like there's only one God with a capital G, this one, and then all the other ones are lowercase gods, which are really no gods at all, but demons. Now, so do you want to go out there and say, yeah, I worship a demon? I don't know. It sounds bad to me, so I would say no, not do that. Okay, here we go. In John 16:12-15, Jesus is speaking, and he's about ready to be. He knows he's going to be leaving because of the crucifixion, and he's leaving some pieces of information to his disciples. And I'm sure there's an awful lot that he would like to express, but he only has so much time, and they can only absorb so much. So we have this time here on this earth to be able to learn more about Jesus. And the disciples are going to live, I can say this, live longer than Jesus, because Jesus is going to be crucified, right? But on this earth. He says this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truths. Alright, so the Spirit of truth is the Holy Spirit. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? Guide you into the truths. So if you want the truth, who needs to be your guide? God, the Holy Spirit. All right, Scripture's pretty clear about this. But we say, well, not exactly. What do you mean, not exactly? Of course He is. But sometimes we just brush this off because I have a degree and I have, you know, a very important job that people look up to me. So when I speak at the business meetings, everyone listens. Okay. So what? Really, so what? What's that?
You have to put Jesus first.
Yes. Yes, we do. We have to put Jesus first and all of that. But because the Holy Spirit will guide us to the truth. And who's the truth? But Jesus. So the Holy Spirit guides us to Jesus, which is the path, right? The way to the Holy Spirit, or to God. Yeah, and so the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us to Jesus and to draw us to Him, who then allows us to go to the Father. It's this Trinity thing, and I keep saying I don't understand it. But they're all God, but they're independent and stuff like that. I get that, but I don't at the same time. It says here that He, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. You know, Jesus said those very words Himself. I only speak what the Father has told me to say. I only do what the Father has told me to do. Nothing more, nothing less. The Holy Spirit's doing the same thing. That's that communion between the three of them, that they are one, right? So everything that the Holy Spirit tells you, it's from the Father. It's not from, you know, some pastor standing around with a plaid shirt and khaki pants. It's from God. And I want you to understand that. God delights in you. And if He delights in you, He wants to spend time with you. He wants to share the goodness of who He is with you. And He wants you on that path that He has created a light for. Yeah. We're going to actually look at some paths here in a moment here. But yeah, you're right, Joyce. He says that He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So it brings honor to God that whatever it is that God wants to share with one of us, or all of us, that we receive it with joy. And we latch on to it. And He delights in that sort of thing. Right? And He wants us to know what it is that He has for Him. He says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is Jesus speaking. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. So, how much do we get of God that has gone to Jesus, is coming to us through the Holy Spirit? How much of it do we actually get to share with God? All of it. Which is really kind of crazy, because I've heard people say, oh, I don't even know if there's a God out there. I haven't seen what God do in anything. God never spoke to me. And why would God allow this to happen? And if He does, then I don't want anything to do with Him. You know, I've heard that so much. Yeah. Yeah, we do hear it an awful lot. You know what it is? They don't know who God is. And they don't want to find out, because they're so stuck on themselves. They're blind. And yet God continues to shed His blessings, not only on what we would call the righteous, but on the unrighteous as well. So that all can come to know who God is. That's God's love, right? It really is. I want to continue on a little bit more here. Oh, this one here. This is kind of neat. I thought that was two slides, but it's just one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." Now, if you read this in Scripture, this is a time where you say, wait a minute, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, or I'm going to decide, all of a sudden I got to do my hair up, or I got to do something. And it's like, but when someone says, I'm going to show you the most excellent way, doesn't that just kind of hone you in and say, I got to read on. I got to find out what this is all about. Because that's really what I want. I want this, the most excellent life that I can possibly have on this earth and then beyond. Because I want more than what this world has to offer me. You can just get on the news and find out exactly what the world has to offer you. And it's there. But no, let's find out what the most excellent way is. Now, this is the last verse in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, which then begins chapter 13, which is the love chapter. Right? That if I make all these proclamations and stuff but not have love, I'm just a sounding gong. That if I give all I possess to the poor, but don't have love, it's nothing. So it really comes down to the most excellent way that you can have in this life is to have love. Now there's a really short sentence in the Scripture that's like three words. God is love. That if you want to find out how to love, then you find out who God is. Because it's kind of neat in a way, because I have here in my wallet, a driver's license. Probably many of you have driver's license as well. When you get these driver's license, there are certain conditions that you have to follow in order to be a safe driver, be a good driver, right? A respectful driver. Certain things, that you, by the law, you're supposed to put on your seatbelt, right? You're supposed to stay on the right side of the road.
Drive around 55.
Yeah, the speed limit, because 55 and 30 is not good, Loretta. especially when you got a little boondoggy, dune buggy. And it's like, so, you know, there's certain rules. You know, you use your turn signals, as sometimes my turn signal fluid is low, but I try to keep it full. And then you have to know the way intersections work. Right, and who has the right of way and sort of things. You follow the red, yellow, and the red and the green lights. But then there's just the stop sign, always stop signs, and there's certain patterns of traffic that you have to be able to follow. What happens if you don't follow those? Yeah, you're going to have an accident. Things are going to happen. You're going to stumble and everything like that. Who makes those rules and regulations? The government does, sure. Whether it's the state government or the federal government and everything like that. You have a license and you are mandated by the government how to do that. Well, guess what? You have been given a life by who? By God. And God governs you. And there's a way to live that He wants you to live by. Just as we follow traffic patterns and driving behavioral stuff, God wants us to do the same with our life that we've got. And He says the most excellent way in which to live your life is to live your life in love. His love. Now, why would God know that? Well, if He created us, He ought to know what's best for us. And if we are subordinate to Him, then we would respect His word by following His word and living in love the way that we should be doing it. Right? And Jesus speaking to His disciples in John 13, 34-35, He says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Common theme, love one another. I've said this before and before. That is our job as Christians. Is it our job to go out there and judge? No, but there's something wrong. You need to make a statement, all right? But you do it in love, right? We're not judging. We can't judge whether a person's going to heaven or hell. That's God's position right there. Right? We can't change the hearts of an individual. That's God's role. What we can do is be a witness for God by living in love wherever we go. Even meeting some of those people that are very hard to love. Yet Jesus died on the cross for them as well. Right? And the people that sometimes cost us an awful lot of time, cost us an awful lot of emotional stress. And what God wants us to do is to love even them so that they will know who God is. Right? God has given us a light, not just to help us so we don't stumble on the path, but He has given us a light so that people can be drawn to that light. That you become a witness for Christ. And others will see Christ in you, that they too can obtain that light by accepting Christ and the Holy Spirit being in them, right? And then they can just, you know, it just spreads. And it's pretty neat to be able to do that. And this is really what God wants us to do. So we have lots and lots of ways that God is guiding us in our life here today. The question is, how much of that are you hanging on to? How much of it are you just putting it into a little basket that you're going to bring it out on some rainy day? When you're really depressed and, you know, you've got nothing else to go to, and all of a sudden you just get this remembrance, oh, I put God in that box that's up in the attic like 50 years ago. I think I'm going to get Him out here today. Can you imagine living all that time with God tucked away like that? And then when you bring Him out, and it's like, why did I ever put Him away? Why did I tuck him in some spot so that nobody can see him, even myself, so that I can just live my life the way I want to. But then there's a reason you're drawn to God. It's because He is your creator. We all have that innate sense that there's God. There's someone. Some of us just completely deny that. But the idea is that we need to hold on to Him. Remember, He pulled us out of that muck and mire, as I read earlier, because He delights in us. He is our support. He's someone that we can lean on. Yeah.
This past week, when I was doing my study, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, remember, you're named after Christ.
Yes.
And I thought about that. You know, we use the word Christian a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But He said, just remind yourself, you're named after Christ.
Yeah, amen to that. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You've heard this before. God is saying, I want to guide you down that narrow road that leads to life. Life eternal. Why is it narrow? Why do few travel it? Because most people don't live for God. Most people won't accept what God has for them. That means the majority of the people on this earth are going to hell. I can't imagine God seeing them go down and down and down. And I don't believe God sends anyone to hell. I believe we choose to go to hell. Because we don't become submissive to God. We want to do things our way. We want to do things that make us feel good. And we know those are only temporary, because people here, everyone, has gone down those paths and they've tried them. And it leads to destruction. But there's only one path that leads to that eternal life. And God wants to guide us down that path. Yes, you have to walk it. Yes, there'll be things on that path. But God says, I will be with you the whole time. I will be your guide. I'll be your support, because I delight in being with you while you're on that path. It does me so much honor to be able to be with you and to share all the goodness that I have with you. And I know you can't absorb it all at once, but I'm going to give it to you and just keep giving it to you and keep showing to you my love for you. And for some reason, that love that God has shown us gets thrown out, you know, it's shown to the rest of the people around us. Because you're aglow with the Spirit of God in you, and you can't do anything about it because it's just overwhelming sometimes. You know those first Christians, when you become a Christian, maybe for the first time or something, there's just a weight that's removed from your body. And not only that, you just want to share. I mean, hey, you know what? This is crazy. I just experienced God for the first time in my life. And it's like, 2 years down the road, hey, got church again. What time is it? Oh. I got 2 more minutes before I have to actually get in the car. Where's that light? Why are we not always excited every day that God is with us?
The world got in my mind.
In a way, yeah. It's those weeds and thorns that kind of get in. They kind of like shuck things around. But we have to remain focused, because we have the perfect guide to carry us through. That's God Himself. And it's so neat to be able to have that. And we want that life, that road that leads to life. It's sad that only a few find it. And we look here, this scripture verse that I've got in Revelation, it's kind of like the end of the story, right? So if you're a betting person and you're betting on horses and you know the outcome of the race, number 7 wins, right? How are you going to bet? On number 6? Are you going to bet number 12? Well, if you know what the end of the story is, right? That's a guide in terms of what we have to do in order to get there and sort of thing. And the end result, all that work that we have to put into it, there is a reward, as we spoke about before. But let's look at this. Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride." Now, when we look at the bride, who's the bridegroom? The bridegroom? Yeah. Christ is the bridegroom. We are the bride. All right? And look at this here. He talks about this in the realm of the city of Jerusalem. And he says, "I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Now think about that. If God can prepare a city to be beautifully dressed for that, how do you think He can prepare you, the church, to be His bride? This is the end of the story. This is how you will be before God. All right, it's going to go and talk about that. It says here, you're not only are you just beautifully dressed, and he says, "I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them.'" Remember, God delights in you. He wants to be with you. And for the eternal destiny that God has is that He will be our God and we will be His people. That is the focus of everything that deals with Scripture. Right? And it continues on. "They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away." Do you want that? Do you really want that?
Yes.
What do you have to do to obtain that?
Believe
in Jesus, right? Live for Jesus. Be subordinate to Jesus. Why? Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. And if you want to be able to get to this point, which will be there, that road is narrow and not well traveled because everybody else says it's too hard, it's crazy. I want to read Proverbs 4 because remember our scripture title is that the Lord, the Word of God guides. And then it says, what does it mean, you know, what this means to us. So I'm going to read Proverb 4. And the book of Proverbs is kind of cool. If you want to open up your Bibles, go right ahead. I'm reading from the NIV. And it's interesting because there's so much in here in terms of someone giving godly advice to the reader. And it's in a sense as a father speaking to their son. And that book of Proverbs is all about wisdom. Not just knowledge. Because the difference between knowledge is just knowing things. Wisdom is taking the knowledge and putting it into action the way it's supposed to be used. And using it correctly. So keep that in mind. So it's not too long. It says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me. And he said to me, take hold of my words, for with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son. Accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the ways of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn away from it and go on your way, for they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Right? Those blind guides I was talking about earlier. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. Can you imagine a father speaking to their son these words? And the son's like, this is that father-son talk that you're going to eventually have. But the father has to be an example of what he's saying too. He can't be the type that says, do what I say, not what I do. He needs to be the type that says, do what I say and do what I do. And it's important for all of this to be able to do it. So there's words in here that give us guidance on how we should live. The Holy Spirit draws us to these very words. To hang on to the words of God, to what Jesus Christ has said, because it is truth. Hold to that narrow path. Because if you want what God has for you, that's what He wants you to do. Stay away from those evil passages. Because that's where everyone else seems to want to go. Ecclesiastes does a nice job in summing things up right at the very end of that book. And he says here in chapter 12, verses 13 through 14, he says, now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter, right? So we've got these things in there. If you want the most excellent way, here's one that says, here's the conclusion of the matter, right? You can jump right ahead to the last chapter of that big book and find out what happens in the end. He says this, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. This is written to you. Fear God. Now that fear isn't you know, like you're going to be cowering before him and stuff like that. What it means is there's an awesomeness about God that is beyond us. That is way, way beyond us. That we can't understand his ways because our ways are not his ways. But we trust that his ways are better than ours. They are better than ours. And sometimes there'll be choices that we're going to have to make where we decide to follow God even when it doesn't seem right to us. It doesn't fit our life pattern. But that honors God. Because he guides us through this life, this thing that we do from birth to death, to bring us to him. So that when we do die in this world, that we're raised to a new life, an eternal life with him, that's going to be a beautiful thing. No sin, no disease, no sickness, no sorrow, no pain. Do you want that? Do you want a life with God, or do you want a life away from God? Choose which guide you are going to listen to. For me and my household, Joshua, I will follow the Lord. But if it feels good for you to follow something else, then go do it. You see, God gives us the choice to serve him or to not. You get to make that choice. Nobody makes it for you. Amen? Lord, I just thank you for this word. I thank you for this time that we have here together. Continue to guide us, Lord. We need it. Sometimes even as a 2x4 in the back of my head. I get that. But you are something special. You are more than just a leader of a nation, a leader of the world. You are our God who rescues us from sin and gives us a new life, eternal life with you. And you share everything you've got with us. Wow, I don't know. That's just a lot. But it's good. And Father, I thank you so much for that. And this we pray. Amen.